Into God's presence. Whew. That was good. Like Bobby, I could have camped out there just a little bit longer. If you've come prepared to give tithe and offering this morning, there are some giving stations in the back or some digital ways that you can do that. But we always like to pray over you, pray over your finances, ask God to bless you. The Old Testament, it talks about God making us the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath, a lender and not making us the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath, a lender and not the borrower. How many want to live there? That's where God wants us. If you're not quite there, hang in there. God wants to get you there. So Lord, we just pray this morning for your people. Bless them financially. Open up the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing that they're unable to contain. Rebuke the devourer, those things that would come and steal our finances. We take a step ahead and it seems like we take two back because of unexpected things that are happening. The Lord, rebuke the devourer. Bless your people. Cause them to increase in every way. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there were three preachers who sat discussing the best positions for prayer while a telephone repairman worked nearby. Kneeling is definitely the best, one claimed. No, another one contended, I get the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven. Well, you're both the best results standing with my hands outstretched to heaven. Well, you're both wrong, the third insisted. The most effective prayer position is lying prostrate face down on the floor. Well, the repairman, he was listening to all this, and he just couldn't contain himself any longer. He said, hey, fellas, the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole. Well, we're in a series on the Lord's Prayer. It's a short prayer, 65 words, only takes about 20 seconds to pray. But we believe that Jesus intended it to be not just said verbatim, but as an outline of prayer that can be expanded to 15, 20, 45, an hour. How many minutes have you got? How much time that you have? You can expand this prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's a very balanced prayer. You'll pray just about every topic, everything that concerns the human need as you pray through this prayer. The first week, we looked at the fact that we pray to a Father in heaven, a Father who loves us, a Father who cares about us, our Father in heaven. Last week, we looked at the fact that the best way to approach God in prayer is through worship, through praise. Hallowed be your name. Scripture says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we enter his courts with praise. It's always best, I believe, to begin our prayer time with praise, with worship. Bill Johnson, I said this a couple of weeks ago, he said, if I have 10 minutes to pray, I'll spend 8 minutes worshiping God and 2 minutes making petitions. And I think that's just a wonderful way to approach prayer. The Lord's Prayer actually begins with worship, and then it ends with worship. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. But then sandwiched in between are some petitions, 4 petitions that I believe, as I said, covers every need of our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. So today we're going to look at the first of those petitions found in Matthew 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this part of the prayer, we're focusing on God's priorities in our life. And all of us need a rightly sense of ordered priorities. Otherwise, we're going to waste our life. We're going to waste time just doing trivial, unimportant, temporal things unless we understand God's priorities and live according to those priorities. So when we are praying this petition, we're praying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. We acknowledge 4 facts about God's kingdom. Number 1, God is our ruler king. He's our ruler king. As followers of Christ, we acknowledge that God is king, that God is ruler of my life. Psalms 47 verse 6 says, sing praises to God, sing praises to our what? Our king. Yeah. And then David said in Psalms 44:4, Lord, you are my king who decrees victories for Jacob. I know in our Western society, we don't relate to being under a king. We are a democracy, and in a democracy, who rules? The people rule. I mean, the first part of our Constitution says what? We the people. And so that's the kind of the mindset that we come from. But when we come into God's kingdom, we got to understand we're transferring into a total different dimension, into the kingdom of God, where God sits as ruler, king, ultimate authority over our lives, over the universe. I know there's a planet, one planet in the universe that's in rebellion right now, but ultimately even that kingdom will come under the rulership and the lordship, the visible kingdom of God. Second, God has a kingdom that he ruled. He is a king, he's a ruler king, and he also has a kingdom. Wouldn't do much good to be a king if you didn't have a kingdom, right? It's not a physical kingdom, it's an internal kingdom, an invisible kingdom. God rules in the hearts of people. God's kingdom is established in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, who open themselves up and yield to him and accept his rule into their life. In Luke 17:20, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "When will the kingdom of God come?" They, along with their disciples, were looking for a physical kingdom to come and be established. They were living under the tyranny of the Roman Empire. They were hoping that Jesus would come. He would be the one, the Messiah, that would come and raise up a physical kingdom, drive out the Romans, set up a throne and right all wrongs. And that's what they were hoping for. That's not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus answered and said, "You cannot see the kingdom of God when it comes. People will not be able to say, 'Look here, here it is,' or 'Look there, there it is.' That is because the kingdom of God is inside of you." So what Jesus said. I want to read in a different version. It said, "When God begins to rule here, people will not see it with their eyes. Nobody will say, 'Look, everyone, God is ruling here,' or 'Look, God is ruling over there.' No, it's not like that. God is already ruling in the lives of his people. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is here, not a visible kingdom, but a kingdom that's ruling invisibly, internally, in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls who open their hearts to his rule." Again, one day Jesus is going to set up a physical kingdom. At the end of this age, an angel is going to shout out, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." That's Revelation 11:15. But until that time, we're going to live in the kingdom of God, in the world, but not of the world, citizens of the kingdom, living by the rules and the principles of the kingdom. Amen? Question is, how do you get into this kingdom? Not everybody, not every person on the earth is a member of the kingdom of God. No one is automatically entered in to the kingdom. If you're born here in America, you're automatically entered in to the kingdom. If you're born here in America, you're automatically a citizen of the United States. But you are not automatically a member of the kingdom of God. People enter the kingdom of God by being born again. That's what Jesus said. John 3:3, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And you're born again how? By putting your faith in Jesus, believing in him to be your Lord and Savior. And there is a transformation that happens on the inside of you. Your dead spirit is made alive, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and you are born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. How many born again people do we got here this morning? Ooh, hallelujah. Here's another question. What are you actually praying when you pray, "Father, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Now remember, the disciples went to Jesus and they asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." They knew something about prayer, but they saw a dimension of prayer in the life of Jesus they did not experience. And they wanted Jesus to mentor them so they could pray like they did, like he did. And they could get the results that he got. And they could have the kind of intimate relationship with the Father that he had. And so he taught them to pray, among other things, this petition: "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What are we praying there? Well, I think you're asking for at least three or four things. We'll see what we get to. First, You're asking him to rule in your own heart and life. I mean, that's the beginning point, don't you think? When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we start here. We start in my life. We start in my heart. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yes, you're born again into the kingdom, but from that point on, we need to seek on a regular basis to make God's kingdom our priority, to seek the kingdom of God in our life. And seeking the kingdom means seeking to have God rule in every part of our lives. Remember, God's a ruler king. He has a kingdom. And when we're praying that kingdom come, we're praying God come and rule in every part of my life. We're not one of these folks that have, you know, living on the fence, try to have one foot in the kingdom, one foot in the world, and that's the mess. How many tried to do that before? That will never work. But no, we need to pray, God, come and rule. Let your government, it's another word for kingdom, let your government, your rule, be established in every dimension of my life. My attitudes, my values, my priorities, my time, my money. Does God want to rule over your money? Absolutely. Your habits. Hey, maybe you have a tendency to use your tongue in a way that doesn't really glorify God or help people much. What are you going to do about that? I mean, we really can't change ourselves, but we can pray, God, your kingdom come. I acknowledge I got this area, my tongue's out of control. And so, Lord, I pray that your rule come in the use of my tongue. Every time I open my mouth and begin to speak something that doesn't glorify you or bless somebody else, signal me. Put a guard over my mouth and let your kingdom come through every word that I speak. Maybe you're a guy and you're dealing with lust, and man, you just have a hard time not undressing the gals that really don't need a whole lot of undressing during the summer anyway, it seems like. The way gals dress anymore, I mean, as little as you can wear, that's what they try to get away with. But sometimes, you know, we're tempted to take that a little bit further. And so you can pray in that area. Guess what? You can pray in that area. If that's a struggle for you, and it's a struggle for a lot of guys, then you pray, Lord, I pray that your kingdom come in my eyes. Help me be like Job, put my hands over my eyes so that I do not look at a woman lustfully. Come in my heart. Let the purity of your kingdom come and purify my heart, purify my desires. How many think that'd be okay to pray that? Or, if, again, money's a problem. Maybe you're a little bit tight-fisted and you have a hard time releasing that money to the Lord. Or maybe you just worry about money all the time. So, man, you just consume with anxiety. If you're going to have enough. And that's an area that obviously God's rule has not been established in your life. What are you going to do? Oh, well, I guess I got to live with it. No, you don't have to live that way. There's power in prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes our heart. And we can pray, God, your kingdom come in this area where I'm worried about finances or where I'm tight-fisted. Come and change me. Rule in that area of my life. Amen? Amen. And then second, we're asking God to rule in the lives of those who don't know Christ. First of all, I guess it's second. First of all, we're asking God to rule in our hearts. But then there's an evangelistic aspect to the kingdom of God. We're asking God to rule in the lives of those who don't know Christ. If you are not living in the kingdom of God, guess what? I got some bad news for you. You're living in the kingdom of Satan. You're living in the kingdom of darkness. There's no in between. There's no God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom, then my kingdom right in the middle. Doesn't work that way. I mean, if you're not in God's kingdom, you are in the enemy's kingdom. I don't know if some of you are not old enough to actually really remember Bob Dylan all that much. I mean, he's still around, I think, but he was a folk singer, or is a folk singer, but very popular in the 70s, 80s. He got born again in the late 70s, and he made three Christian albums, one after the other. I mean, it was a radical conversion. If you ever listen to those songs, I mean, he absolutely met Christ and got changed, and I don't know where he is now spiritually, But back then, he was really on fire for God. And he wrote this song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Anybody remember that song? Gotta Serve Somebody. It was on an album called Slow Train Running. The verses go, you gotta serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you gotta serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Who are you serving today? How many think the great theologian Bob Dylan got it right on that one? So when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, we are praying a prayer for kingdom advancement and expansion in the world, in the lives of people who are away from Christ right now. Matthew 11:12, this is a well-known verse. I'm going to read it in a little different version, the EHV. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing. What's it doing? The kingdom of heaven has been, is, will be advancing forcefully, and forceful people are seizing it. When I read that, it was the idea of troops in my mind that are seizing ground. They're coming against an opposing military and they're gaining ground. They're taking territory. So God's kingdom is not a passive, wimpy kingdom. God is aggressively seeking to wrench lost people out of the grasp of the evil one and bring them into the kingdom of God. Can I say that again? God's kingdom. Thank you. Thank you for that permission. I was going to do it anyway. It's my sermon. But God's kingdom is not a passive, wimpy kingdom. It's advancing forcefully. God is forcefully, in terms of spiritual kingdom dynamics, wrenching people that are bound by the enemy out of the enemy's kingdom and bringing them into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
You're here because of what he did. Colossians 1:13 says, for he's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Satan has a kingdom too. He's trying to establish that on the earth as much as he can, trying to establish that in the lives of people to the best of his ability. But God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. A couple years ago, there was a movie that came out called The Sound of Freedom. Anybody ever see that? Sound of Freedom? It's based on a true story of a government agent named Tim Ballard, who was involved in rescuing kids that were being sex trafficked. And the movie focuses on one particular young gal, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. I believe she was Mexican. And she was kidnapped by this ruthless sex trafficking gang and taken into the heart of the jungles of Colombia. That's where their headquarters were. It was a place that no one went. Government didn't go there. The military didn't go there. I mean, it was a dangerous, dangerous place. But this agent risked his own life to go into that place and find that girl and rescue her and bring her out. And it was a successful mission. And he returned her to her distraught father. And I'm telling you what, that's exactly what Jesus did. 2,000 years ago, Jesus conducted a rescue operation of the highest magnitude. And he rescued you and I who were bound in slavery to sin and slavery to Satan. But he rescued us by the power of the cross and delivered us and brought us into the kingdom of his Father. How many are thankful for that today?
Yeah.
And guess what? He's not satisfied with just a few rescues. He's got a big heart. He wants a big family. And he wants to rescue as many people as he possibly can. And guess what? He's going to use you and I to help in that process as well. And then third, we're praying when we pray that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're praying that God will come and rule in situations where Satan's kingdom is currently ruling and reigning. So there's an intercessory aspect to the kingdom of God. You know, it's not too hard to spot where Satan is ruling and reigning. Just turn the news on sometime, anytime, and just watch for about 15 minutes, and you will see evidences of the kingdom of darkness. It's all around us. And it's not God's plan to have crime. It's not God's plan to have ignorance or disease on the earth. God doesn't want lying politicians. He doesn't want corrupt businesses. That's not his plan and his purpose. He doesn't want broken marriages. He doesn't want dysfunctional families on the earth. But that's all the work of the enemy. Families on the earth. But that's all the work of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, talking about the enemy. You know, everybody, sometimes people get mixed up and they think, well, God's sovereign. He's in control of everything. He is sovereign. But how many know he's not causing people to go down to the bank and rob the bank or murder somebody or kidnap somebody or rape somebody? That's not God's rule. That's not God's will. I mean, overall, he's a sovereign God. And ultimately, his sovereign purposes will be done. But the scripture says that Satan is the god of this age. That he's ruling over planet Earth right now. And he's blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. And we know John 10:10, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But what do we do when we recognize the strongholds of the enemy? What do we do when we recognize where the enemy has set up fortresses in people's lives, in marriages, in children, in culture, in society? We just throw up our hands and, you know, try to hang on. And when Jesus comes back, he'll make it all things right. A lot of Christians, they see so much corruption around them. That's exactly what they do. They just throw up their hands and whatever will be, will be. Jesus didn't operate that way. When he saw corruption in the temple, what did he do? Just, well, Father, I don't know what to do about it. No, what did he do? He took action. And he drove the money changers out. And God wants us to take action. Prayer is a call to change the world. Prayer is a call to change circumstances. To see God's kingdom come and drive the enemy out of people's lives, out of our society, out of our culture, out of our schools. We can do something about the corruption and the darkness that we see in our world today.
Amen.
Anybody out there? Or you go home already? You still out there?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Here's the third point. God's kingdom can come in the here and now. We know at the end of the age, Jesus is coming back. The here and now. We know at the end of the age, Jesus is coming back. The kingdom of God is going to set up physical kingdom. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we can bring the kingdom of God in right now. We can bring the rule of God in right now. By using the Lord's Prayer, we can make a difference in the world. Hallelujah. John Wesley said this, it seems that God does nothing on earth apart from the prayers of his believing people. One of our members was just sharing with me this week. Situation where she works at NorCor, and there was an inmate that she said has probably been in and out of NorCor 150 times over the years. Mostly drug-related things, probably other things as well. But he'd get arrested, and then finally they'd release him, and it wasn't very long. He was back in, and this went over and over and over again. Well, she got hired out there and began to understand who this man was, got to know him a little bit, and began to pray for him. Began to pray, God, your kingdom come in this man's life. Your will be done. Well, after a little bit, he was released. And then a week went by, and a month went by, and several months went by, and the man didn't return. And everybody in the jail, everybody on the staff was wondering where he is. What happened to him? Well, several months down the road, he comes walking through the front door. That's probably the only time he actually walked through the front door without handcuffs on. He walked through the front door, and he said, I went to rehab. I got clean. I'm absolutely drug free and have no desire for drugs. How many know prayer can change things? We can bring the kingdom of God into people's lives. Jesus said in Matthew 16:19, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What are keys? What do keys do? Will be loosed in heaven. What are keys? What do keys do? What do keys do? They unlock things, right? I got a couple keys. I travel light. I got 2 keys. I know some of you got like 15 keys on your key ring. I travel light. One of the reasons that we don't even lock our door. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, actually. We can't edit that out, actually. Anyway, I got a church to the key, or excuse me, a key to the church. And this one key opens every door on the property. Then I got a key to my car. I don't have a key to my wife's car. She won't give me a key to her car. I just have a key to my car. But these keys give me access to my car, give me access to the church, any door, anything I might need. Behind those doors, I have access to that. Well, the keys of the kingdom give us access to the authority, to the power. Everything that we need to accomplish kingdom purposes in the earth. Amen. God didn't leave us powerless. He didn't leave us without authority. He gave us the ability. He left us with the authority and the power to see changes happen. I think about Jesus when he met that demoniac man that was full of demons. He lived in the tombs. He lived naked. He cut himself with stones. The people in the village, they tried to secure him and contain him. They put him in chains, but because of the demonic forces within him, he would break those chains and run away and live screaming naked in the tombs until one day Jesus came and brought his kingdom and manifested the kingdom of God in that man's life and rebuked those demons and commanded them to leave. The next picture that we have of that man, that he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's the kingdom of God manifest. Well, hallelujah, Jesus. That was great, Jesus. That was Jesus. And he has all that power and all that authority. Well, guess what? He gave us the keys of the kingdom.
Yeah, he did.
He's in heaven. He left us to do the work.
Yeah. Come on.
And when we see people or situations where the enemy has gained entrance or control, or set up a fortress of some kind. It might be a physical disease. It might be some kind of a demonic oppression. It might be addicted. Some kind of addiction in your life. A habit that you can't break. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the keys that God has given us. Amen? Give me just a couple more minutes and we'll be done. I want to look at the second half of this petition. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray this prayer, we're not only acknowledging God as King, but we're also surrendering our will to His will. You're asking God to help you follow His plan. When I pray this prayer, I'm not asking God to do my will. I'm seeking and yielding to His will. When I first heard somebody teach on this, in the 1980s. And it actually just blew me away. It just totally changed the way I look at prayer. Before that, prayer was me trying to get God to do what I was pretty sure He needed to do in my life. That's what prayer was. God, you need to do this. You need to fix this. You need to change that person. But when I heard this prayer, Pastor White, he was on staff at Larry Lee's church. And Larry Lee had a great teaching on the Lord's Prayer back in the 80s. And I heard him preach on this, and it literally blew me away. I began to understand that prayer is not so much me trying to get God to do my will, but me understanding what His will is and surrendering my will to His will.
Yes.
Someone once said, we don't pray to bend God's will. Prayer bends your will to His. Amen?
Yes.
One of the big questions of salvation is who's going to sit on the throne of your heart? Who's going to sit on the throne of your heart? Before we're saved, we're sitting on the throne of our heart. Right? We're in control. We're in charge. We're doing what pleases us. But the Apostle Paul settled this question. I love the scripture, Galatians 2:20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. the I that he's talking about when he says, I have been crucified. He wasn't talking about his physical body. He was talking about that self-will. The old apostle Paul, who sat on the throne of his heart and did exactly what he wanted, when he wanted to do it, said what he wanted to do, did whatever pleased him. He said, guess what? That Paul is no longer around. I've relinquished my will to God's will. Hallelujah. That old guy, that old man, he's been crucified. I've relinquished rulership of my life to Christ, and now I'm living to please him. Now, if you never experienced the grace and love and mercy of God, maybe that whole idea doesn't sound appealing to you. Me surrender my will to somebody else? Me come under the authority of someone else? Me living to accomplish God's plan for my life instead of my plan? I'm pretty sure I got a pretty good plan for my life. Maybe that doesn't sound appealing to you until you come to understand who God is. Until you come to understand how loving, how gracious he is, how perfect his plan is. It's a plan that he perfectly designed with you in mind. And when you live that plan, it's a whole lot better than living the old way. I've lived both ways. I've lived in self-will and I've lived the old way. I've lived both ways. I've lived in self-will and I've lived under God's will. I've lived with me on the throne of my heart and I've lived with God on the throne of my heart. Me on the throne of my heart, that almost killed me. I mean, literally, several times. Me on the throne of my heart got me into addiction. Me on the throne of my heart landed me in jail a couple times. And I've discovered having God on the throne of my heart, that is a whole lot better. How many would agree with me? You've experienced that. Living, having God on the throne of your heart, that is the way to live. Hallelujah. The Christian life is one big yes at the beginning when you're saved, and then it's a smaller yes every day. I love the song. I'm so glad, Tiffany, you sang that song, Trading My Sorrows, in that part. Yes, yes, Lord. How does that go? Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. And that's the way we live the Christian life. That's the way we live as citizens of the kingdom. It's just a daily yes, Lord. I surrender my will to your will. I surrender my plans to your bigger plans, your bigger picture. You see the big picture. You know exactly the steps that I need to take. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So when we're praying, and I'm almost done, when you pray, your will be done. We're praying four things. Father, help me find your plan. Help me understand your plan. Help me submit to your plan. And help me to accomplish your plan. Is that always easy? No. It wasn't always easy for Jesus. There was one particular occasion anyway in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly before he was arrested, shortly before he went to the cross, where he wrestled momentarily with surrendering to the Father's will. He knew what was coming. He knew the agony that faced him, the separation from the Father. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But did he end there? No, he went on to say what? Not my will, but your will be done. And he surrendered to the will of the Father. And when he's hanging on the cross, what did he say? He said, it is finished. What did he finish? He finished the will of God, the will of the Father for his life. And my prayer is for you, for me, for the will of the Father for his life. And my prayer is for you, for me, for each of us, that at the end of our lives, we can look back and say, Lord, it's finished. I've done your will. I've accomplished your purposes in my life. Let's stand this morning. In your bulletin, you should have got one of these cards. It's a prayer card. It's an outline of the Lord's Prayer. I want to encourage you to take this, put it in your Bible, pull it out over the next few days, few weeks, few months. When I first heard my first teaching on the Lord's Prayer back in the 80s, I prayed the Lord's Prayer every day of my life for probably 10 years. I mean, I went through this outline every day. Then the Lord kind of directed me another place, but he's kind of brought me back recently and just been praying through this, and it's such a powerful prayer. Touches on so many different areas. Seven basic human needs that it touches on. Hallelujah. Before we go, I want to give you an opportunity. If you are here today and you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you're honest with yourself today, and it's important that we get honest.
Yeah.
If you're honest with yourself, you're going to recognize, I'm not really sure that Jesus is sitting on the throne of my heart today. If something were to happen to you and you would slip into eternity, you don't have the assurance of exactly where you would end up. That's not a good place to live. God has a great plan for you, and it really begins with putting your faith in Him, opening your heart to Him, letting Him come in and be Lord and Savior of your life. He will bring His kingdom into your life. What is that? Well, Romans 14 says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many could use a little bit more righteousness, peace, and joy in your life? That's the evidence of the kingdom. So if you're here today and you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, would you raise your hands? I'll see it. God will see it. See those hands? See that hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord's tugging on your heart. I've been there. I know what that feels like. You're wrestling. I don't know if I want to surrender to God or not. I'm just having too much fun. God's dealing with somebody today. We've already seen several hands. Anybody else? It is the best decision you will ever make to surrender to the Lordship of Christ. All right, let's pray. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for me. Come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Be Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender my life to you. Help me to live to please you every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome these into the kingdom of God this morning. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, particularly for the first time, I encourage you to use this QR code and let us know that you said that prayer. We want to reach out to you, and we have some material that can help you get started in your walk with the Lord. We just